Begin the current daf mesechta Yevamah is daf tes zayin. Begin three lines down from the top of the Yamad. The Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, the Gemara had a long discussion regarding, which a discussion was introduced regarding our previous Mishnah, that there was a machlokes b'sham b'sil regarding the halacha of the tzaras erva. Is it as we had assumed in the beginning of our mesechta, like b'sil says that the tzaras erva is exempt from yibam chalitza? Or is it like Bishami who argue and say that no, there's a regular halacha of Yibam that applies to a tzaras erva, they're not exempt from Yibam Chalitza. Now, related to that, a discussion ensued regarding, did Bishami file their own opinion? And if they did, then Rish Lakish had then there would be a question regarding if that would be a violation of Leit Eskeidu, making a goodness, making the appearance of that there's many different tairis, because Bishami has one type of halacha, Bishal has another type of halacha, or is it Loyasu? Now the Gemara brought on the top of this Amud from the previous discussion that a proof from an incident in the days of Reb Daisa ben Hyrcanus, where there was someone had permitted the Tzaras Habas to the brothers, so from there it was inferred that definitely there were those in Kala Yisrael, specifically the students of Bishami, that followed Bishami's opinion, and that did permit the Tzaras Erva in the Halacha of Yibam. And again, that was one of the riots that Beishami were also kedivrehen. The Beishami filed their own opinion, and it wasn't a violation of Leit Eskeidu, as we explained in the previous daf, what would be the specific criteria of the violation of Leit Eskeidu. Now the Gemara says Gufa goes back to fill out the whole background of that story. So it says that Bimir of Deis ben Hyrcanus, in the days of Deis ben Hyrcanus, he tirut tsaras habas lachen. So that part of the Gemara was quoted on the top of this Amud, that they permitted the tsara of a daughter, meaning the tsara of an erva, to the brothers in the situation of Yibam. Now, however, the Gemara continues the rest of that story. But v'haya davar kasha l'chacham, this was difficult to the sages. That's because Reb Daisim ben Hyrcanus was a great sage. Now, the chacham thought that it was him who had permitted it. Now, tzaras erva, we follow like Basil, and that's forbidden. But the problem was ve'ein of kamu, that Reb Daisim ben Hyrcanus stopped seeing, and therefore he stopped coming with love of the Beis HaMedrash. He didn't come to Beis HaMedrash anymore. So they couldn't go and contest with him regarding this that seemingly was his psak that to allow tzaras erva in the halacha of Yibam. So the gears is that the vav is with part of Amar. Amru, so they said, mi yelech v'yodia. Who's going to go and notify him regarding what was this that he had made the psak to allow tzaras erva in the halacha of Yibam? As the Gemara said, that obviously there are those who followed that, were stewards of Beis Shammai, but this that Reb Daisa ben Hyrcanus went and made this Pesach was something that they wanted to go ahead and discuss with him. So Amar Reb Yeshua, said to the sages, he says, Ani Eilich, I'll discuss it with him. The question was, V'achar of me, who's going to go after Reb Yeshua? So that Reb Elazar ben Azariah, he agreed to go second. V'achar of me, who's going to go after that? That's Reb Akiva. So Holchu v'amdu, so these three sages went and they stood al Pesach Beisah by the entrance of his home. So Nichnasa Shevchasai Amrulai, so his maidservant came into Reb Daisa ben Hyrcanus and told him, Rebbe, my master, Chachmi Yisrael Boi Netzlecha, the sages of the Jewish people came to you. So Amrulai Yikansu, so he said to her, let them enter. V'nichnasu, and they came in. Tefas Reb Yeshua, so he grabbed Reb Yeshua. V'shivuhu al mita shel zav, and he placed him on a bed, which was what they used to recline on, made out of gold. So Amrulai, Reb Yeshua said to Reb Daisa, he says, Rebbe, my master, Amar l'talmidcha achar b'yashav, tell your other student that he shall also sit. So Amar lo mihu, so he said, who is this other student? So he said, Reb Elazar ben Azariah, it's Reb Elazar ben Azariah. So Amar Reb Daisa said, v'yesh le ben Lazar chavireinu, is there a son to our friend? Because he was much older, he was friends with his father, Azariah, is there a son to him? So he said, oh, karlov amikra zeh, so he called upon him the following pasuk in Tehillim that says, nar ha'yisi gam zekanti, I was a youth, and I was also older. And they never saw a righteous person that was forlorn, and that his children are looking for bread, and that is, when he was younger, he was friends with Azariah, who was wealthy. When they get older, his son, Reb Elazar ben Azariah, was also not forsaken, but also a wealthy individual. So he took him and he set him on a golden bed. But Amar Reb Yeshua said to him, Rebbe, my master, tell it to your other student that's still here, that he should sit down. So Amalei Mihus, they say, who is the third one? So it says, Akiva ben Yosef. Amalei, Ata, who Akiva ben Yosef? You're the famous Akiva ben Yosef, Shashim, Chohelech, Mesef, Oel, Matzavi, that your name goes from one end of the world to the other end of the world. Shev ben Yishev, sit, my son, sit, Kamais Chayir, Bibi Yisrael, like you should be many in the Jewish people. the Baisa tells us that his chilum is sav ma'isa b'halachas. So they started surrounding him. In other words, they got into a discussion of different halachas. Until they got rid of what they wanted to get to. So the halacha about a tzara of a daughter, the tzara of an erva in regards to being taken in yibamah. So Amalei, they said to him, tzara sabas ma, what's the halacha with tzara sabas? So Amalei, so Deisa said to them, it's a machlek, it's b'sham b'sil. So they asked, okay, halacha gebe mi, who is halacha fall like? So Amalei, he said to them, halacha gebe sil. So Amalei, they said to him, but v'aloi mishmecha amr halacha gebe shamay. But in your name, they're saying, it's out in the streets, that the halacha is like b'shamay, that you could be miyamet tzara's erba, the tzara of a daughter. Amalei, so he said to them, Deisa shamatim, did you hear that it was Deisa? Meaning, on my first name that permitted the tzara's habas? Or did you hear, without the word daisa, that the son of Hyrcanus permitted the tzara's habas? So Amr Lay, they said to him, Chai Rabbi, we swear, our master, that stam shemanu. We heard it stam, meaning ben Hyrcanus. We didn't hear the specific name mentioned tied to it. So Amr Lay said to them, oh, I understand why. Ach katan yeshli, I have a younger brother, Bechur Satanhu. Well, either that means his name or his city. Rashi actually interprets this either as the Girsa Shnoin, meaning that I have a young brother that's very sharp. And when he gets to what he feels is the right understanding of halacha, he follows that and he doesn't budge. Even if the majority of the people will say not like him, he just sticks to his guns and he follows that. But Yainasin Shaman, his name is Yainasin. Now, Bahumi Tamid Shaman. He's from the students of Shaman. Now, it was him that made this Pesach. Because he following his Rabbi Shammai wishes that Tzara Sabas Muteris. And that's why you're hearing that Ben Hyrcanus said it's permitted because of my younger brother. But Vihizaharu, I warn you, be careful, Shalei Kapeach Eschem Halachas, that he shouldn't go ahead and contest with you in these halachas, Lefishyeshi Mei Sholish Mei's Tshuvas, because he has 300 different proofs and responses, but Tzara Sabas Muteris, to prove to you that the Tzara of a daughter is permitted in Yibam. Now, but that's what my younger brother says. But I can say testimony on me, heaven and earth, that on this mortar, Yashav Chagai Hanavi, that the prophet Chagai said, and he said three things. First was, Tzara Sabas is Asura. It's not true, it's like Basil, that the co-wife of an erva, of a daughter, is going to be forbidden. Second thing that Chagai said was that Ammon Umayyad, and that is the Jewish people that live in the lands of Ammon Umayyad, which was conquered by Moshe Rabbeinu from Sichon, and then it was sanctified in the Kedusha Beretz Yisrael. But then later on, the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, that original Kedusha was nullified, and therefore they would plant in the Shemitah year because they didn't have the sanctity of Beretz Yisrael to have the Halacha of Shemitah. It was then Mesukin for them that they should, in the seventh year, take off Maaser Rishon, the first tithe, which is given to Levim, and the Maaser and Maaser only B'Shvi'is, that they should also take off a second tithe, not Maaser Sheni, as others would say, but rather the tithes of the poor people, which as Gemara later will explain, the purpose of this was so that there should be a source of sustenance for the poor people in Eretz Yisrael that don't have what to eat in the Shemitah year, because nobody has food, and everyone's grabbing the little that's on the fallow fields. And that's because there's no leket that Shekhar and Peyer for them. So therefore, they go there to Ammon Umayyad, and there they take leket, shikcha peyah, ma'aser ani, they take all the gifts that are given to the poor from these fields in the Shemitah year. That was the second testimony he said, that the second ma'aser is the ma'aser of ani, because although the first and second is ma'aser sheni, third is ma'aser ani, fourth and fifth is ma'aser sheni again, and the sixth is ma'aser ani, which one is the Shemitah year going to be? In these lands of Ammon Umayyad, which really doesn't have the Kedushas of Eretz Yisrael, but regarding these halachas, we gave it that it gets the halacha of Maaser Ani. And the third thing that he said was the Mekablin Gerim min HaKarduyin min HaTarmudim, that we accept converts from these two nationalities, and that is we do not say that those people are Mamzerim, or illegitimate people, that and therefore forbidden to be married into the Jewish people, that we would say that they're from Jewish women that had relations with non-Jews, where there are those Rabbanim that say that such children from that union are pasul and they're mamzerim. And that is what Chagai said, that no, we do accept converts from these people, and we're not concerned with this, that they maybe they're from such a union which would make them forbidden to come into the Jewish people. Now, Tana, we learned in the Braisa, so that was the end of this discussion regarding, again, that was introduced because we had brought in regarding Uriah, that there are those that followed the opinion of Bishamai, which wasn't Reb Deisim ben Hyrcanus, but rather his younger brother, and that's the end of that story. Now, the Gemara brings an appendix to this story, that Tana, we learned, Kishenichnesu, when these three sages came into Reb Doisim ben Hyrcanus to find out and investigate regarding this halacha, nichnesu bepesachecha, they came in one entryway. Kishyatsu, when they left, yoytze b'shloish l'psachem, they went in three different entryways, they left on their own ways. Now, Pagabai, so then Yainasin, who he was the one that had said this halacha, he encountered Rebbe Kiva. So actually, so he then asked Rebbe Kiva with all his 300 proofs, and he proved it to Rebbe Kiva that the halacha would be like him, that Tzaras Abbas is Mutaris. So after he went and, so to speak, slugged up Rebbe Kiva, so Amalois, he said to Rebbe Kiva, Atuhu Akiva, you're the famous Akiva, Shashim Chahelech Misleif Oil Matzleif, that your name is so great, it goes from one end of the world to the other. Says, Ashrecha Shezachis L'Shem, you're praiseworthy that you merited such a good name. But, Vadayin Lo Higata L'Roi Bakar, you have not even reached the level of those who are shepherds for the cattle. Meaning that's how, because look, I see, I bring you rice and you can't answer me. And I prove to you that Tzaras Abbas is Asura. Some Aloy Rebbe Kiva responded to me, says, in modesty, he says, Vafil L'Roi Yitzayin, not even Roi Bakar in Halacha, those who are shepherds of the flock, are even the lower standard. And he says, you know what? Not even that I haven't reached. Now the Gemara goes back to one of the three testimonies that he said in the name of Chaga Hanavi. The first one was regarding the discussion that we're talking about in our sugis of Tzaras Abbas, that it's Asura. Second thing he said was that Amun Umayyiv Ma'asun Maisur Ani B'Shvias, that in the lands of Amun Umayyiv, they take off, besides Maisur Rishon, the second tithes is not that of Maisur Sheni, where the individual eats that produce in Eretz and Yerushalayim, but rather that's given to the poor people, and this was done in the Shemitah. So the Gemara explains what's the reason for this halacha. Dama Mar, as the master said, Harbe Karachim Kavshu Oil Mitzrayim. There were many cities that the Jewish people, when they came up from Egypt, when they were coming out of Mitzrayim with Moshe Rabbeinu, when they finally came into Eretz Yisrael, there were many cities that they conquered, which to become part of Eretz Yisrael. But V'lo Kavshu Oil Bavel. But the second time they came back, Teretz Yisrael, meaning when they're coming up from Babel after the when they were in the diaspora, after the first Chorban Beis HaMikdash, coming back to build the second Beis HaMikdash, which was not reconquered. Those cities, there were many cities that were not conquered by those who came up the second time. Now, moreover, the Kedush Rishayna, that initial sanctity of the lands of Eretz Yisrael, which was done the first time they came in the times of Yeshua, were only Kitch L'Shaita. It was only a temporary sanctity that was done for that time being. But V'lekitch l'asalav, it wasn't an eternal sanctity which would make it for time immemorial. It was only for that time until the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Now, V'hinichum, the people coming up from Bavel, the reason why they didn't reconquer that and make it part again of the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, like they had the first time, was Kedei she'yismuchu aleim aniyin b'shvi'ah, so that the poor people could rely on those lands in the Shemitah year, either to go ahead and that they could rent themselves out in the work of the plantations, of plowing and reaping. Moreover, that they were left for the poor people so that there would be all the matnas aniyim, which is leket, the shikha, that was left over, pay of the corners of the fields, maaser ani, a tenth of the produce has to be given to the poor people. And that's why they didn't reconquer it, to make it back part of Eretz Yisrael when they were coming up to build the second Beis HaMikdash, because we specifically wanted lands that were always Jewish, not part of Eretz Yisrael, so that then the poor people could have a source of sustenance in the Shemitah year. Now the third testimony that Chagai had said, which was what Reb Doisa ben Hyrcanus was saying, testimony from him, says, Umekablum gerim in akarduyim v'tramudim, that we could accept converts, meaning we take for granted that they're pure non-Jews, and therefore they could convert. They're not like some type of illegitimate Jewish people, which, although they seem like non-Jews, would be a halachic problem if, let's say, they're mamzerim. Says we could accept gerim from these people, from the karduim and the termudim. Rishon Gemara asks, Ini, is that really so? But Tani Roman Bar Yecheskel, he says, Ein mekablin gerim in the karduim. We do not accept converts from the karduim. And as the Gemara later will explain, is because they're actually not non-Jews. Non-Jews could convert, but they're actually mamzerim, they're illegitimate children, because they're from Jewish people that assimilated. And therefore, they're actually Jewish, but since they had forbidden unions, created illegitimate children, we cannot marry to the Jewish people. They're not even converting, they're really Jewish, but mamzerim, and therefore we cannot accept gerim from them. So can we or can we not? Samar Vashav Ashi says, no, kartuyim itmar. What he says that you cannot accept gerim from was not karduyim, because karduyim you could, as Chagai said, but rather it's kartuyim. Kedamri inchi, kartuyim psulim, which that was a usage that people had said that their invalid kartuyim, which again it was kartuyim, not karduyim, were the dalad. Vikadam, those that say this previous discussion in a different version, the Tanna Rami by Yecheskel, Ein Mekalban Ger Min Har Kartuyim, it was said kartuyim. But the Gemara's question was, my love, Hane Kartuyim, Hane Karduyim, it's the same thing, it's just, let's say, a different dialect. Amravashi Loi, Kartuyim Luchud, but Kartuyim Luchud. They're different things. Kartuyim you could, Kartuyim you cannot. It's only Kartuyim that are invalid, and therefore doesn't contradict that we could accept Gerim from Kartuyim. However, the Gemara does bring that Rabbi Yechon and Savi, Demet Havaya, both Rabbi Yechon and Savi say, they argue, and they say, Ein Mekablan Gerim Min HaTarmudim, that although there were two people, Karduyim and Tarmudim, and we resolved the inconsistency of Karduyim and Kartuyim, but regarding the second group, the Chavagai, he said, you could accept converts from, Rabbi Yechon and Savi disagree, and they hold, you cannot accept converts from the Tarmudim. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, is it really true, Rabbi Yechon said, you cannot accept Gerim from Tarmudim? But Vatnan, there's a Mishnah Masech that's needed that says, Kol haksamim, all stains that are found, meaning blood stains, that are found on garments that from women, haboyim min harekem are taharim. That if it comes from this place called rekem, those stained garments are tar, and that is, we do not assume that they are kismei nida. That is, if a woman has, let's say, an undergarment or a garment that has a blood stain on it. So we assume that it's from the blood of a menstruating woman, which transmits tumah. But if it comes from rekem, and we just find the garment that has a stain, then we assume for it to be tahar. And the reason is because the sages did not decree the tumah of ksamim, which is a rabbinic decree regarding the blood of anida, on the garments of idol worshippers. Their bloods, they did not transmit the halacha of nida, and therefore their garments, which is from a non-Jew, is not a problem. And since rekem is non-Jews, so such a garment that comes stained is going to be tar. But Rabbi Yehuda Metame says, no, a garment coming from rekem, we will consider it tame, that it is a blood-stained garment from a menstruating woman, a Jewish woman. And the reason is, although it seems like they're all non-Jews there, is actually Mneshehen Geirim. Actually, they were converts, that their blood does transmit to them, because that means they're Jewish, but Vitayim, but they then went and assimilated. They then left the Jewish faith. So they converted, but then they left. Now, therefore, since they essentially are Jewish, they just rebelled against the Jewish religion. So although they're sinners, but they're still Jewish, and therefore their ksamim, their stain-filled garments, are garments that are in the category of the Chachamim's gzera to consider their garments tame, and therefore he disagrees and he says, reckon the garments will be tame. However, maybe no ibdi kachavim, if it comes from a place where there's no Jewish people that live, it's coming from strictly from the idol worshippers, then everyone would agree that time those garments are going to be tahar, because only the garments of Jewish women, that then we say that their ksamim will transmit tumah, and that's why there's a machlikas regarding rekim, but if it comes strictly from a non-Jewish place, that will not be a problem. So that's what it says in the Mishnah Masech Tisnid. Now, Vavinaba, we asked regarding this Mishnah, we continue on Talmud Beis, Kapasig Vatani, it's what was a statement that no one argues on. It says there in the Mishnah, Mibeino Evdi Kechav. If it's coming from a place of idol worshippers, then it's going to be tar. Now, the inference is, Vafilim in Tarmud, even if it's coming from Tarmud, which obviously, because it doesn't say except from Tarmud, there was a machlekes regarding Rekem, but no one said anything that Tarmud would be any different, even though that's a place of idol worshippers. Obviously, that's not a place where we have a doubt regarding if they're Jewish or not. Now, V'amr B'yechanan, based on this, Rabbi Yechanan said, Zayis Emeris, what one could infer from this, is that Mekablin Ger Mitarmud, that since we'd be saying that the garments that are stained, that come from even Tarmud, would be like any place where there's non-Jews, and therefore the garments would be tar, so obviously then you could infer another halacha from there, that you could accept converts from Tarmud, and that we don't say that they're really Jewish, it's just that they assimilated, and hence the children will be mamzerim, illegitimate children, because if that would be the case, that means they would be really Jewish, and then the garments should transmit tumah, based on because they're Jewish, just like Rabbi Huda said regarding rekim. Now, from the fact that they don't say that, must be that we assume that there's no Jewish people there that assimilated, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan says you could accept gerim. So does Rabbi Yochanan say, as we said before, that you cannot accept gerim from Talmud? Or as we see his other statement, it says clearly that you could accept gerim from Talmud. Now, the Gemara says, now, b'chitem is zoyz v'leis tevila, and if you're going to say that, no. Rabbi Yochanan holds, like the statement on Amin Aleph, that you cannot accept gerim from Talmud. But when he says zoyz emes, that from this you could infer, but not that he holds of that. He just says, from that inference of that halacha, you can infer that, but he argues on that. And then the Gemara says, but you can't say that because of Amr Rabbi Yechanan, halacha k'stam Mishnah. We know that Rabbi Yechanan has a klal, a general rule throughout Shas, that the halacha follows an anonymous Mishnah. And that Mishnah, Masechtas Neda, is anonymous. It doesn't say who said it. And he says the halacha always follows that. And the inference from that Mishnah is, as he said, Zayis Emeres, is that you could accept Gerim from Talmudim. So can you or can you not accept? So the Gemara answers, Amayro inenu valibid Rabbi Yechanan. It's a machlokes Amayrom. According to Rabbi Yechanan, if the halacha is like that Stam Mishnah, which is Rabbi Yechanan's halacha throughout Shas, which would make it that you could accept Gerim from Talmud, or as Tosafos explains, the opinion that's mentioned on Amud Aleph would disagree with that general statement that the halacha always follows like Stam Mishnah, that Amayro in the name of Rabbi Yechanan does not agree necessarily to that general rule. And therefore, that's the opinion that says, the Rabbi Yechanan argues and says that you're not allowed to accept Gerim from Talmudim, and therefore it's a machlokes Amayrom in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Now, but the Gemara does ask, Mitamid my time aloy. According to those opinions, that the first version of in the name of Rabbi Yechanan holds that you cannot accept Gerim from Talmudim, what's the reason why you cannot accept Gerim from Talmud? So the Gemara says, Pligibar Rabbi Yechanan v'Savia. It's a machlokes Rabbi Yechanan and Savia, which they're the two opinions mentioned on Amud Aleph in that first version, that you cannot accept Gerim from there. They both, although they agree to the same halacha, they have a disagreement as to why we cannot go ahead and accept Gerim from there, and that's because we assume there are some assimilated Jews there who are essentially problem more than a Ger, because their children are going to be Mamzer. Chadama Mishum Abdi Shlema. One of them says, because of the servants of Shlema HaMelech, who they were very wealthy and influential, that they went and married the Jewish women. Now, although they were not Jewish, they dwelled there as a status of an idol worshiper, but they married the Jewish women. Now, this opinion holds that an idol worshiper that marries a Jewish woman, the child will be Jewish because it goes after the mother, but the child will be illegitimate because of that union between the Ibn Kachavim and the Jewish woman. The other opinion said it was because the daughters of Jerusalem, which shortly the Gemara will explain what does that mean, that's because the Jewish women at the times of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, they were idol worshippers that went and married them, and again, that's the same halacha basically, that a union of Eved Kachavim, of a non-Jew with a Jewish woman, the child will be Jewish, but it will be a mamzer, illegitimate child, and that's why you can't accept Gerim from there, because a mamzer, lo yovah bekal Hashem, a mamzer cannot marry into the Jewish people. And the Gemara asks, Bishlema l'mandal mishum abdi Shlema, very well according to the explanation that said that it was the servants of Shlema, is why can you not accept Gerim from there? Because Kesava Eved Kachavim ve'Eved Abba Abbas Yisrael Abad Mamzer, because it holds that the children were not non-Jews to say that we could accept converts from them and then they'll be like regular Jews, because he holds that an idol worshiper or a slave that has relations with a Jewish woman, the child is going to be illegitimate, but a Jewish child nonetheless, so you can't convert them. But according to the other opinion that says, because of the daughters of Jerusalem, the question is, Mahi, what is that a reference to, that's why you cannot accept Gerim from Talmud? So the Gemara says that interpretation is a pligibar of Yisra Abanan, is a machlekes, exactly how to define that opinion. But for Tarvayim Mishmei de Rabbi Bachana, both of them are saying it in the name of Rabbi Bachana. So they obviously have a disagreement about what Rabbi Bachana had said. Chadama 1 says, there were Tracer Alfe Gavri, there were 12,000 men, and Vishita Alfe Kashtuye, and there were 6,000 of those who had the bow and arrow, which would make them for a total of 18,000 men. Now, Vachadama once has a different version. It was Tresa Alfa Gavi, you're right, it was 12,000 men, but Uminaihu, from the 12,000, half of them were Shita Alfa Kashtuye. There were 6,000 that had the bow and arrow. But be that as it may, whatever it is, there were a certain amount of non-Jews that Beshosh Nichnasu Evde Kacham Lehechla, at the time when the idol worshippers came to the first base of Migdash to destroy it, Hakol Nifnal Kesubzav, everybody was jumping and grabbing the gold and silver from the temple. But Veheim Nifnal B'nai Yerushalayim, they went and turned and they wanted to violate something else. Not the base of Migdash, but the Jewish women. Shnemek says, the Pasuk in Eicha says, Noshim B'tzion Inu, that the women in Zion were afflicted, B'sulais Bar Yehuda, and the virgins, the maidens in the cities of Judah, And that's the reference to B'nai Yerushalayim, that the idol worshippers went and violated and married these women. And again, because Eved Kechavim, that's Ba Al Bas Yisrael, creates a child of Mamzer, or according to the first interpretation of that was Avdi Shlema, it's also Eved HaBa Bas Yisrael Havlad Mamzer, and therefore Rabbi Yechon and Savi held that you cannot accept Gerim from Talmudim because they're not non-Jews, they're assimilated Jews that are considered Jewish, but Mamzerim, and that's why we can't accept them. Now, related to what we had mentioned on Amud Aleph, there was a statement that brought down the Pasuk. So the Gemara brings it here, that Amar Shmuel ben Nachmeni, Amar B'Yenison, Pasuk Zeh, this Pasuk that was mentioned, so the Gemara mentions it now and clarifies that Pasuk, Sar Ha'olam Amar, actually a prince of the world, which Rashi defines as a malach, as an angel, says this Pasuk in Tehillim, Nahar Yisi Gam Zekanti, that I was young and also old. It's actually a malach that's being quoted here in this Pasuk. Because, as he explains, Man Amri, who do you think said this pasuk? Elim Akutcha Brichu, if you say it's a reference to Hashem, Mika Ziknikame, is there elderliness by Hashem? Hashem is not young nor old. Vela David Amri, so you would think then who said these words? It's the author of Tehillim, David HaMelech. That can't be either. Mikashash Kuli Hai, did he really get so old? He died young, David HaMelech. You must say that it was a malach, the Tsar of the world, that he had said these words, but not Hashem and not David HaMelech. Now, V'amar b'shmul b'nachmeni omer b'yinsen, another statement from the same Amorah, says, "My nechsev, what does it mean the pasuk in Eicha that says, Yodoy paras tsar, the enemy stretched out his hand, akom achmedeha on all her treasures." So, and that he explains, that's a reference to Zeh Amon Amoyev. It's a reference to the people from Amon Amoyev. That is similar to what we said before, that B'shosh HaNichnesu Ebdek Chavim L'Heichel, when the idol worshippers were coming and destroying the Beis HaMikdash. So, HaKol Nifnu HaKesev Zav, everybody went and turned to grab and loot and get the gold and silver. But B'heim Nifnu HaSeber Torah, they went and turned towards the Torah scrolls. Amru, they said, Zeh Shekasabai, this scroll which is written in it, L'Yavei Amoyni Me'ovi B'kal HaShem, that the people of Amon Moab cannot come into the assembly of the Jewish people, Yisarv Be'ish will be burnt in fire, and that's what they stretched out their hand on the treasures of the Jewish people, which are the Sifrei Torah. Now the Gemara brings another pasuk from Eicha and expounds it. It says, Tziva Hashem liYaakov, Hashem commanded to Yaakov, to Jacob, Sivivav Tzar, that those who surround her will be their adversaries. So Rav explains the pasuk is Kegoin Haimanya. It's like Haimanya, which is from non-Jews, or some say they're Greeks, that would torment and bother Lefum Nahara, to the poor Jewish people that live in Lefum Nahara. Again, that Saviv of Tzar, that those who live around her, the non-Jews, will go ahead and afflict them. Now, related to the discussion that we were talking about before, the Gemara brings the Amar Avudim Rabasi, Oivet Kechavim Shekidish Bezman Hazeh, regarding an idol worshiper that goes ahead and does Kiddush and gets engaged to a Jewish woman today, Choshen LeKedusha, we're concerned about that marriage. And the reason is, Shema Me'aseres HaShvatim Hu. Maybe that this man, maybe he's not real, and this is the discussion we're having before because there are assimilated Jews, maybe he's from the 10 tribes, where the 10 tribes went and they married the idol worshippers. Now, this opinion holds that an idol worshipping woman that gives birth to a Jewish man, the child will be a mamzer, will be considered an illegitimate child, although the mother is not Jewish, and therefore you have to be concerned about the kedushin of a mamzer, meaning this man that's getting engaged to this Jewish girl, essentially there's no kedushin over here, there's no marriage, but still he says you have to be concerned that there is a kedushin, that as if halachically they're married, because maybe he's from the 10 tribes, and there they went and married non-Jewish women, and the children are not totally non-Jewish, they're some type of mamzers. But a mamzer, although not allowed in the Jewish people, but he's still Jewish and his kedushin would be kedushin, so you have to be concerned that maybe they're really married. Now that the Gemara asks on that, but v'ha called the parish meruba parish, there's a general halacha in regards to calculating different variables, and that is if whatever separates from an entity, we always say it was coming from the majority. Now, the majority of the world are not the 10 tribes of the Jewish people. Yes, there used to be a large chunk of the Jewish people that got separated and they're assimilated. We don't know who they are. But still, why should we assume and be suspect that maybe this person is from the Aseres HaShvatim and therefore, although they married non-Jewish women, the children from them are mamzerim, and maybe this person is coming, is a mamzer, and they have to be concerned with that kedushin. But you say, you assume that the majority of the world, billions and millions of people, most of them, there's a small minority that's Jewish, you say it's coming from the Rav. Why should we assume it's from the Seres HaShvatim? So the Gemara says, you're right. We're talking about Beduchta de Kvi. We're talking about a location where the children of the 10 tribes have been established, that this is where they had gone to. And then there's a different call in Halacha called Kol Kavua. Wherever there is an established that this is over here, then we'd say it's Kamechtz al Mechtzadami. Then it's not Parsh, it's not coming from somewhere. Rather, it's like when you're going there, and that would be the difference in Halacha, let's say when there's 10 stores, and you went to one of the 10 stores, versus if you didn't go to this store, but actually a piece of meat came from one of the 10 stores, when it comes, then we say it's called the Parsh. It was coming from the Rav. When you went to it, then it's called Kavua. If it's established and this is where it is, then we say it's 50-50, no matter how many there were, kosher or non-kosher. Same thing over here. When you go to where they are, this is the place where they're established, then we say it's like 50-50. And therefore, then you do have to be concerned that maybe it is from one of the Aseres HaShvatim and not from a non-Jew, and therefore you have to be suspect for his Kedushin. And that's what the Gemara explains. So where are the places where the children of the 10 tribes are established, that this is where they live? Now, Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana is quotes a pasuk Malachim Beis that says Vayanchem, that the king of Asher went and took them, directed them, Bachalach uvachaver Nahar Geizon Va'ari Modai, which the Gemara explains Chalach Zechalzen Vachaver, we continue on top of Yudzayin Menav Zu Chadyav, these are different places, Nahar Geizon Zu Ginzak Va'ari Modai Zu Chamadan Vachaberseo and its surrounding areas. And some say Zu Nihar b'Chaberseh. It's a reference to the place Nihar and those surrounding areas. So the Gemara asks Chaberseh, Mount, what are these surrounding areas? Amar Shmuel, it's a reference to Kerech, Mushche, Chidke, Budimkaya. And those are the different places where the Aseres HaShvatim are supposedly there and they're Kavu over there. And therefore, if one goes there and then one of the seemingly non-Jewish person goes to the Jewish girl and says, here, let's get married, and there is a Kedushin, you have to be suspect that maybe it was halachically Kedushin, because maybe it's actually a Jewish person that's a mamzer, which the Kedushin would be a halachically valid Kedushin. Now, Rabbi Yechim says, regarding all these places that we just mentioned, the Kulon Lipsul, that all these places where there is an assumption of the Aseres HaShvatim, where the king of Asher took them to, the majority of them are mamzerim, are illegitimate Jewish people. That's because the daughters of the Aseres HaShvatim went and assimilated and married into idol worshippers. Now, their children are like Jewish people, and therefore it would be applicable to them, the Isra of Mamzeris. Now, they were not careful. They would marry their sister or their daughter because they didn't have the halachas. They didn't keep any of the halachas. They went and assimilated. And therefore, their unions are unions of Mamzeris, and that's why we're saying that these places are where the Aseres HaShvatim are, but one has to be concerned for that type of, as Rabbi Yehuda said, name Rabbi Avasi, for those Kedushins, because although they seem like a non-Jewish person, but you have to assume, because Kol Kavu Kemetzah Mechzadami, that very likely it's from a Mamzer, that's a Jewish person, which his Kedushin would be a Kedushin.